Assalamu alaikum, guys. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Never Fully Understood podcast. My name is Fatima Garba, and it feels good to be back to your speakers and your ears after what I think almost 2 weeks. Yeah, so I think that break was much needed, especially for me. I don't know, honestly, whenever I feel like I need something, I just think everybody else needs it. I don't know why. Anyway, you guys, like, this past break has been very difficult, honestly, especially from social media, just in all the posts that people make on social media, and like, not just random posts on social media. You guys know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Gaza war. And personally, for me, it's been very difficult for me to just watch people being treated that way. It's been, oh my god, like, it's been so bad that it affected my mental health that I had to take a break from social media. I was just here thinking about how, okay, when it became a lot for me, when it became difficult for me, I could just, you know, log off social media and that was it. Like, I wasn't seeing this thing happening anymore. And I'm just like, what are the people that are experiencing this? They can't just, like, log out of where they are living in. And I'm just, it's just really heartbreaking. And I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings ease to them. Please make sure you always put them in your dua. May Allah just bring ease, because I don't even know what else to say, if not just to make dua, you know, constantly. Also, I would like to solicit prayers from you guys. We lost a dear friend, Mimi. I want you guys to please put her in your prayers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her Jannah to Firdausi. May He widen her grave and, you know, put in so much noor in it. Because anyone that speaks about her just speaks about how she was like a noor in their lives. She was really, really kind. And it really got to me when I heard of her passing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her Jannah. Before I get into today's episode, I also want to speak on gratitude. Sometimes, like this time, like this moment, I feel like a fraud talking about this, because honestly, sometimes life hits you so hard that you forget to say alhamdulillah. In this episode, Umi and I, we speak on breast cancer and its awareness, and I just sat down with myself the other day and I was just like, look at all the things that are happening in the world, and look at people that are battling with cancer, and I'm not any of those people. I have my own problems, but they are manageable. I can survive. Like, I'm not, it's not, it can be, it could be worse. And just the same way there's someone there out there that is battling with cancer, or someone in Gaza, or someone that is even going through worse, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you are going through, it could be worse. And I just thought about how we are mostly ungrateful. We are always like never saying alhamdulillah. But I think we should be people of gratitude, because whatever it is that you're going through, it could be worse. Like, it literally could be worse. I think I have this habit now of just writing down things that are good in my life, so I don't lose sight of it. Like, let's just be people of gratitude. And you know, the funny thing is, Allah will test you if He loves you, right? And just think about all the good blessings that we have in our lives, all the good blessings we have in our lives, and how it's just one or two things that is wrong with us, and how we are still lucky to be tested by Allah. Because it's like, you have all these good things and you're still getting tested, meaning like He loves you. So which of your Lord's favors can you deny? You understand? Even if you're sick, even if you're not, even if you're going through the lowest time of your life, just be grateful. Like, just be grateful. Like, pray to Allah to make it easy for you. But let us be people of gratitude. And I know it's difficult, honestly. I have some days that's why I said I felt like I feel like a fraud speaking on this, honestly. Because there are some days that I just want to cry. There are some days that it feels like it's beyond me. But instead of being one of those people that see the world like I'm the glass half empty, I'm trying to be like a glass full kind of girl, you understand? And I think we should all try and adopt that. I think it just makes life easier for us. Even if you're listening to this episode and you're battling with this disease, or you know someone who's battling with this disease, just always look on the bright side. Like, you are ill and Allah is just, you know, taking away your sins. And alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah always. So yeah, on that note, let us be people of gratitude, because guess what? It could be worse, but it's not. Like, no matter how low it is, guess what? It can be lower, but it's not. So alhamdulillah always. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with me and Umi. It was very, very enlightening. I think more people need to speak on this. More people need to know about this, especially since it can be prevented. It can be prevented. There are other ways to go, please. Let it not be cancer, especially if we can prevent it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. And I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Hi guys, so today I have Umi Musa with me. Umi, please can you introduce yourself to our audience?
Hi, my name is Umi Musa Omar. I'm a radiotherapist and a breast imaging specialist, and also a cancer awareness advocate.
How long have you been doing this for? Can you tell us how long you've been doing this for?
I think I've been in it for quite a while, but if you want to see real advocacy, let's give it a year or a year plus.
Okay, that's really nice. Thank you, Umi, for all you do, by the way, especially since it's for, like, Ariwa women.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Yes, okay, so can you, like, tell us what breast cancer is and, like, what are the symptoms that we should look out for?
So breast cancer, we're in the month of October, which is globally the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We've been doing a lot of advocacy, pink. I was just saying in my mind that all the people that have got to know me this month think I like pink. Like you just said, I have a lot of pink. I didn't even realize I do have a lot of pink until this month. So we're in the last week now, and it's been very educative for me too. Breast cancer is just an abnormal growth of cells. Cancer generally is just when cells start growing out of control. For breast cancer, of course, it's localized in the breast, and there are a lot of factors that can, you know, make a woman to develop breast cancer. In oncology, that's in cancer medicine, we can't say this is the exact reason or this is the exact cause of cancer, but we have predisposing factors, which we may mention over the course of this podcast. And as for the symptoms to watch out for, I've been advocating about breast self-examination and breast awareness. Awareness is just not to let people know. It's for you as a woman to know your own anatomy. You should know the shape, the size, the texture of your breast, such that if there's any change, you should be able to notice changes that are not like related to your cycle. For example, if you notice any tenderness during ovulation and it goes away with ovulation, then it's just normal hormonal activity. But when you notice tenderness that lasts beyond your cycle, then it's a symptom to look out for. If you notice any lump, any lumpy feeling, any hard feeling on the surface or internal, anywhere on the breast, up to the axilla, that's the underarm, that's a very that's where the culprits usually hide. It's another thing to look out for. Another thing is you should be able to, like, during your breast self-examination, press down on the nipple and see if there's any discharge. Some women discharge when they're ovulating, but some don't. If you know you do, if you're ovulating, that's why we advise the breast self-examination to be immediately after your period. That time, all your hormones they've calmed down. So there's nothing that is being caused by them. Everything you see that time is naturally yours. So that's the best time to do it. So if you notice any discharge, whether blood or any fluid, you can just head over to the hospital and have a clinical examination to ensure that, okay, if the doctor tells you, no, it's okay, then your mind will be at peace. That's it.
Yeah, okay. So, as a radiotherapist, right? You're a therapist in Ariwa, Nigeria. What has your experience been so far?
Oh, my experience. Okay, I think what I've become right now is as a result of my experience. You were at the event when I was talking about when I joined. I was a diagnostic radiographer before. So when I joined radiotherapy, I didn't actually want it. When I got it, I didn't want it. And I think it chose me. So a lot of mentors, I was talking to them, what do you think? Should I go for it? I'm the kind of person that usually, like, when I push a little and there's no change, I see, oh, maybe it's a last choice because that's the only thing I asked for. It's like I'm going with my own choices. So I just decided to go for it. But one person told me, a mentor, that Umi, you are very emotional and this will get to you, so brace yourself. So I didn't understand what he was talking about, so I started working. So when I was just seeing, you know, cancer patients and what you go through on a daily basis. It wasn't like diagnostic, when maybe in a day you see one cancer patient, maybe that you scan and you see that it's cancer, or in a week you see a few. This one is back to back cancer patients the whole day. And I don't know, it really got to me. I was getting so anxious. I didn't know where to dump the whole pressure. I was getting sleepless. And so I was doing a little bit of the advocacy before then. Generally, you know, health-related things on Instagram. So then I just started, you know, the cancer one. I'm like, ah, cancer is the one that needs advocacy. So when I started, it was
all
like...
All cancer, or just like breast cancer?
All cancers. Because I treat all cancers. So when I started, it was like I was, you know, converting the whole pressure into a useful information, dumping it where it's needed. Yeah. So, you know, just diffusing it away. Yeah. So that's how I started. And that is the experience of, you know, being a radiotherapist in Ariwa, because we are grossly understaffed. With our population, we need nothing less than, let's say, 100,000 radiotherapists. And we have less than 100 registered radiotherapists in the country. So the same thing with the machine that we use, the radiotherapy machine, it's also another ball game of its own, because with our population, just from the cancer thing that I'm coming from the event, one of the speakers there mentioned that every 1 million population needs one radiotherapy machine, ideally, to effectively treat cancer. We have over 200 million citizens in this country, and we have less than 10 radiotherapy machines. So just imagine what we have cannot cover 10% of our population. So that's the kind of pressure that we go through, because the cancer patients will come. They keep coming, and you don't have the facility to treat them. You just imagine that. That's it. It's crazy, it's hectic, but we are hopeful.
Yes, let's be hopeful, because like I can just imagine the amount of people that come into the hospital, and you have to like come very early, because if you don't come early, you won't even...
And not just that, you can come early, stay the whole day and still go without getting treated, because it's overwhelming. The number is beyond us.
I hope it gets better, because like that's really frightening, honestly. And that's why I think it's very important to advocate checking, like catch it when it's young and everything, because when you get there, it's like it's even impossible to get treatment, like even if you have money,
you know. Yes. And then the waiting period, you know, time is of the essence when it comes to cancer. So the waiting period is also very detrimental, because stage one can turn to stage two, which totally changes the cost of treatment, changes the cost, you know, and everything, the pain, you know. It's just so sad.
SubhanAllah. So like speaking on prevention, like how often should one get screened, and like what are the breast cancer, not breast, but like cancer screening centers in Nigeria? How many do we have? Like how often should we get screened?
Okay, so I don't know. Everything about this is quite disappointing, I'm telling you. But as I told you, we're not gonna give up. We have to just keep on pushing. Okay, so about the screening, you asked about screening, right?
Yes.
How often? So for breast cancer, I think every woman, regardless of whether she's a teenager or she's old, age is a factor. Older women have more risk. But then with our lifestyle right now, we can't just tell, because we have patients in their 20s battling bilateral breast cancer, both breasts at a time.
Oh my God, it can happen to like both breasts?
Yes, it does. It does happen. Especially for women that have the hereditary thing, BRCA gene. So that's why we say every woman that just have breasts, even if you are a teenager, ensure that you check it once in a while. Do your breast self-examination and go for screening at the hospital. For younger women, from teenagers up to the age of 40, you go for yearly breast ultrasounds. Because we would like to catch them young, let them get used to, because we don't have the tradition. When I started this advocacy, this screening this October, you know, I'm doing discounted screenings at a hospital. And most of the ladies that actually come are ladies that have had someone in their family battled cancer. They've seen it firsthand. Anyone that haven't seen it or just heard of it is scared and will understand you when you talk about it. But then they are not willing to take that step because maybe they've not seen it happen or something like that. So anything from teenage up to the age of 40, women should go for yearly breast ultrasounds. From the age of 40 should be yearly mammograms. It's very important, and I think that's how we can drastically reduce the occurrence, because the occurrence, we have one of the highest in the world, in the whole world. So what will help us, you know, crash down that statistics is when women go to screen. We don't wait for symptoms. As I always say, once there is a symptom in cancer, then nothing less than stage two.
Like once it's
when once you can see a symptom, you know, by yourself. But when you go and it's seen before it shows itself, then you're catching it early. That's the whole point. Early detection is the key to treating cancer.
But like for home what do you call it, home examination, yes, so even if I examine myself at home and I see it, like it's already like almost stage two?
Oh no, if you're examining and you feel something, yeah, then that means you're checking. But when you wait on it, there is a symptom, maybe it's obvious, you know,
okay,
it's like painful, yes, or you just maybe remove your undie and then you see stains, blood stains or something like that. That's when the symptoms are coming out by themselves. But once you check by yourself, then that's early detection. And hopefully it will be below. You know, cancer is just...
Cancer is cancer.
Yes, yeah, so like what of the breast screening, the cancer screening centers in Nigeria?
So I hate to burst our collective bubbles, but to be honest, it's crazy that we there are states that still don't even have mammography machines. Like when I'm doing those things and people used to ask me, I'll let you let me know which state you're calling from and I'll tell you where to go get screened. Like Nasarawa State and others, I don't go deep.
Yeah.
They don't even have. So I just advise them to go to the nearby state. You know, just imagine something that you just have to go do for 30 minutes and you have to travel. And we still want these women to, you know, take charge and make it a tradition to be doing these things. Is it easy to know? You're not sick or something, you're just going to check and you have to travel out of your own state. So I think the government has a lot to do when it comes to this. This is what we've been, you know, talking about in the Cancer Week.
Because like I can just imagine like someone that doesn't have cancer in their family, and then you have to like travel to another state. And you know, someone can even tell, like especially Northern, they'll be like, like are you trying to put it upon yourself that you're even traveling to go and check? And so it's like very discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was everywhere, like okay, anywhere we go, we can
just
go in.
Into your hospital and
That's the strategy used by, you know, overseas, the other countries that have very low occurrence. It's not like it's not robotics or something, you know. It's just simple. You make it a tradition, and then these facilities are available. In the UK, there are, what do you call it, mammography machines that are mobile. They'll come park in front of, you know, a whole street. All the women come, enter the, it's like a bus. You enter the bus, get screened, then go to your house. You know, it's not something that cannot be done in Nigeria. It just takes an effort.
Do you know about, like, speaking about, like, other countries, honestly, I'm just like... Even for you guys, the radiotherapists, no wonder you guys are not a lot in Nigeria, because it's very discouraging. Like, why don't I just go to a country where I know that I'll get a job and I'll help people, because they're done for me to just stay here when it feels so hopeless. Like, I can imagine it takes a lot for you to stay in the country, honestly. And there's a lot of brain drain that comes with this japa, and it's like a joke, but it's really crazy, honestly.
It is frustrating when you have patients that you want
to
treat, you know,
in the country,
you know, I'm telling you. So when you see them japa all the time, it's not their fault. You can't judge them.
So like what's the difference between a mammogram and a pap smear? Yeah, okay. And what are their advantages?
Okay. So the advantage of screening is to catch it early, before symptoms show by themselves, and that's the one surest way for cancer to be treated if it's caught early. And pap smear is for cervical cancer. It's a test that should be done for women that are sexually active to, you know, check for cervical cancer. It should be done every 3 years. Reason being that cervical cancer is a silent killer. Yeah, in northern Nigeria, it kills women more than breast cancer, because most times it's asymptomatic, doesn't have any symptoms, it doesn't show symptoms, or it will just be, the symptoms will be like toilet infection, you know, because it's caused by a virus that is a sexually transmitted virus. So it takes time to develop. There's a long window for it to develop. Once that virus can be caught early, that's what pap smear does. The virus causes some changes before it actually turns to cancer. So it can take years to develop. So that time span is where, when a pap smear is done, it can be, you know, seen early and treated by just antiviral drugs or antibiotics. So that's for pap smear, and that is for cervical cancer. And mammography, that's what you asked, right?
Yeah.
Mammography is for breast cancer for women above the age of 40. Well, below 40 should be an ultrasound, because for mammography, women that have denser breast tissues, younger women whose breasts are dense, we call it perky here, perky and firm, yeah, that. So mammography actually cannot show much. So that's why we opt for ultrasound.
Okay, so is that why, like, most young women are encouraged to take the HPV vaccine?
Yes.
Yeah, it does so much prevention. So yes, when you take the HPV vaccine, do you still have to go and do the pap smear?
It's advised, but then your chances have already crashed. It's already so low. And the vaccine is more effective for women that are not sexually active, for girls. That's why the government just recently launched, I think it's going to start rolling over tomorrow or something.
Okay.
And it's free for women from the girls from the age of 9 to 14.
Okay.
Very effective, and it's very beneficial. But we can still advise even women that has had it as girls should still be going for their pap smear. It's a 3-yearly thing. It's not that it's very, you know, so for women that are sexually active, they can still go for a pap smear, ensure that they are negative, then go for the vaccine if they want to. It can still benefit, not as much as the girls, but it also has some benefit for older women.
I think there was a time that there was like a whole campaign around this HPV vaccine, and I wanted to take it, but I didn't understand it. I was just thinking, like, what is it? I don't know, maybe I wasn't just reading about it. But like, I remember, I think I messaged someone, and she was like, oh, it's like, yes, you should, and everything. And every day I'll be saying, I'm going to go up to today. I think, honestly, when it comes to health, if we're being honest, for like Arewa women and even Muslim women,
yeah,
we don't really take it seriously.
We don't, especially if we don't see any symptoms.
Exactly.
If we don't see any loved one. You know.
And you know, it also has to do with our culture, because it's like, why are you going to the hospital to go and meet a doctor for something like, like, why are you going to, you understand? So it's like, people want to go.
Yeah, that when we had an Instagram live last week, we were like, I know it's a personal thing, you know, because for both of these cancers that are killing women, they are both private. They're kind of, you know, from a private part of the body. I know it's not easy to go and just open up, you know, but it's totally worth it. I always like to mention the numbers, because that is why, what, that's just what gets to, you know, people when you talk to them. When you don't mention numbers, they don't think it's necessary. Anything that can kill 31 women a day, 31 women in a day, breast cancer, is an emergency. It kills more than terrorism, more than car accident, more than any other cause of death that you can think of. Anything that can kill 29 women, cervical cancer, is an emergency. In northern Nigeria, every 2 hours, a woman dies of cervical cancer. It's killing women. It's a silent killer. In Arewa, you know, we have less of breast cancer and more of breast cancer in the south. I think it's because we have more children and breastfeed more. Meanwhile, because of our, you know, polygamy, I don't know whether it's polygamy or whether it's just because we are too shy to go to the hospital, we have more of cervical cancer in northern Nigeria. It's crazy when you look at the statistics.
And I'm sure most of these women do not even know it's cancer. They just think, you know, maybe infection.
Yes. Yeah, it's just infection. You know, some of them even just go to the hospital. They go to Instagram and start searching for, you know, the aphrodisiac sellers are now even selling infection curing kits. That is it. We should know more than that.
Yeah, exactly. And this even brings me to my next question, because study shows that black women like have like 41% more chances of catching breast cancer.
Yeah.
And in Nigeria, it's like, it's worst for northern women, just like you said. Mm-hmm. So how can we lower our chances? Like, you said something about breastfeeding now, and I'm scared.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, breastfeeding is very important. It reduces a woman's chances by a very high percentage. It reduces the chances.
Breastfeed?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. But then, multiple pregnancy is a factor for cervical cancer. So I think it's quite paradoxical.
Yeah.
But then the only thing is, let's ensure that we are very positive about our lifestyle, because we have a lot of lifestyle factors. You know, when you talk about all this fast food now that have become a norm, we've normalized fast food. We hardly eat well-cooked meals, traditional meals, you know.
Yeah.
So all these things that have preservatives in them, you know, that they are chemicals, and you know what they can do to our health. And another thing is things like smoking. I think we don't have much of that problem as women.
Mm-hmm.
But inactivity, you sit, we like to Netflix and chill, those kind of things. So there are a lot of lifestyle factors that makes me talk about hereditary factor less. Because I know that for breast cancer especially, there is a high chance that if you have a mother or your mother's sister or an elder sister that has had it, you are at greater chances. But then living our lifestyle is a huge factor right now.
Yeah, so instead of fixating on, oh, this person has had it in my family before, like somebody, you can be the first in your family.
That is it, because of lifestyle.
Yeah.
But then
I think at the end of the day, it just turns back to like how Allah said our body is an amana to us, and we have to like
take care of it.
So it's, yes, so just exactly.
Because even the Prophet say, tie your camel and then pray.
Yeah.
You can't just sit and say, it's not my portion, and
mm-hmm.
pray. You have to do what you need to do for your body, because when you go out inhaling all the pollution,
mm-hmm.
when you go out chilling with friends and taking all the soda
mm-hmm.
and carbonated drinks, when you go do unhealthy stuff, your prayer will not cover that. Yeah? So I think it all boils down to our self-discipline. As much as it's difficult to go and open up and tell a doctor, I need a pap smear, or maybe I have symptoms, I've been having recurrent infection, I need a pap smear done. It's very difficult, but I think it's very much important.
Yes, so like, how can we raise more awareness, you know, in rural areas in Adiwa? Especially when you said this whole pap smear thing, like, it's so personal for some women, and you can imagine how some husbands will react, like, oh, what? Especially like northerners that are not educated. So how do we play a part in educating the people around us, especially the women around us, because the women are the ones that are dying?
Yeah, well, I think I was in a conversation with a stakeholder yesterday, and I was like, the most difficult thing in this awareness is reaching the grassroots, because it's very easy to reach the millennium kids, you know, the educated ones, because they have phones. But then, if you want to reach the rural area, it's more difficult, it's more out of reach, and it's also, it costs you more as an advocate. So, but then, we just have to continue doing it. When I go to TV channels and talk in house, it was very hard for me, but I think I'm used to it now. I've gone to 1, 2, 3. And I would just be hoping that this channel would be, you know, playing in one just rural area, and one woman will just sit down there and coincidentally just hear me saying this thing and maybe gist it to her neighbors so that they will get to know. Because I always say, when I have very indigent women come for treatment, I will ask them, did you know about this before it happened to you? Some of them will say yes, they've had a family member that died of this. And I'm like, when it happened, didn't you ask, how can you prevent it? They didn't know there are preventive measures. They don't know. They actually don't know. And if you tell a rural lady right now that have lost her neighbor or something to cancer, let's say cervical cancer, because it happens more in the rural settings in Ariwa. When you tell her that there is a test called a pap smear that costs averagely 8,000 naira, if you can just do your asusu and every 3 years go to a hospital and tell them you want to do this test, I'm telling you, if you write it down and keep it, she'll keep it in her akwati and she will do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have access to the information.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have access. It's really sad, but we won't give up. We'll keep on keeping on and keep on doing it until it reaches the grassroots.
Yes, because it's like they just don't know. Most of them, if they know, like, I think women are just becoming wiser now. Yeah. Like, they know, even if their husband tells them not to do it, and they know that they saw it happen to this person, I tell them, oh, so we can actually prevent it.
Talk about, you know, women being smarter now. Even the rural women that before, they will tell you, Mijinayachi, if I do, sorry, contraceptives, be a fever. Before I was even not married, I'll be like, me ruin me the contraceptive because is he the one that, you know, is he the one that helps you with, you know, most of them will be in another room, well, in another room with the baby crying all night. So now you will talk to them and they'll tell you, now even rural areas from Ruga, you know, the typical rural Fulani, when you talk to them, they will tell you that Naja and Samoana will meet you and I be Sansaba. So, you know,
now
they know. So it's, I think it's a gradual process, and we're hoping that this information will also reach them.
Like, contraceptives just give us hope. Like, if they can put in contraceptives, like, with all the bashing that happened when it was coming up, then, like, this, inshallah, there is hope.
Yeah, inshallah.
Yeah, so, like, lastly, what are your thoughts on, like, the Gargajiya method of treating cancer, like, as a radio, like, just... come from the medical perspective, from the medical point of view, like, what do you think about it?
I think that Gargajiya thing is what has been spoiling our game for ages. Yes, because that's what causes late presentation, and that's what kills women.
Yeah.
Because once a woman presents late, when it's already fungating and smelling, and you can, as a healthcare worker, you can't even stand to be close to her, you understand? It's really sad. We need to know that as much as they say cancer is JG or Daji, and Gargajiya is very effective. I know very educated women in this Abuja that tried it, or they will tell you Chinese medication, or, you know, all these things. They are all Gargajiya now. It's really sad, because even if you want to do it, why don't you do it together with Nasibiti?
Yeah.
So that anyone that works fine. But the thing is, the Gargajiya people are quite wicked. Because they will tell them, but I had one under Nasibiti. Why? Because they only want their market to sell.
Yeah.
That's just the reason why. It's selfish and it's crazy. So we need to create more awareness on that too, because it's not working. It's clearly not working. Someone will tell you, my mom had it, she did Gargajiya and it cured. Maybe it's not even cancer. Maybe it's a benign cyst or benign tumor. Because if it's cancer and it gets cured by traditional Gargajiya, whatever, then fine. But out of 1,000, you cannot find 2 or 3 that have been cured by that. Even if there is some, you know, very gifted Gargajiya malam that actually know herbs. We are not saying herbs are wrong, because even pharmaceutical drugs are originally from herbs, right? Yeah. So I think it's really doing more harm than good.
I think I listened to someone speak about her breast cancer. And she went for chemo, but before she went for chemo, like, her mom just, you know, they did all the Islamic aspect of it, but she still went for chemo. So it's like they did both. So why are they stopping you from doing both?
No one can.
Because sometimes, like, even the whole just having faith, you know, it just makes it easier. So, like, just do both. Just do both. You can, what will go wrong if you do both? And it doesn't even make sense. Like, okay, the Gargajiya doctor is telling you not to do both, but the medical doctor is telling you to do both. Just do both.
Yeah,
I think we need to also raise more awareness on that, so that people know that, even though, I think maybe it's cheaper.
How many people raise awareness on cancer in Nigeria? Whenever you talk about it, people mention Dr. Zeus and that's all. She does a lot. She does it all the time. But who does it again apart from her? It's really crazy, because when you look at southern Nigeria, they have a lot of, you know, private centers that treat cancer, because they're not waiting for the government to save them. Right? They have like 4 or 5 private centers. We don't have a single private center, cancer center, in northern Nigeria. We have the people that are the richest in Africa. It's a good investment. It's not like you do it and you're just sacrificing your money. It is one of the biggest investments globally. Cancer care is one of the biggest investments. That's why people are much interested in cancer care, because they say there is money in cancer. That's what they say. There's money in cancer. Why? Because any person that is afflicted with cancer is willing to go all out, sell all the family, whatever, to cure themselves. I think the worst form of oppression is when the masses are willing to do whatever they can to raise the money, and then they still cannot get services. It's really sad. Whatever it is, if they say it's very expensive, okay, it's understandable, maybe as the naira rate, the but if you have the money and you cannot access it, I think that's the height of, you know, that's the height of it.
I think we need to do better, because honestly, even for me, I don't think it's something that I really would have, like, in the past would pay attention to. Yeah, like, I'm right. guilty. Mm-hmm. But when I heard you speak that day, I was like, oh my God, this is, like, really serious. And more people need to know about this.
Yes.
So I'm really happy that we're able to have this conversation. I've asked you all the questions that I can think of. But obviously, I'll put in your page and so that people can see what you're doing and they can learn more from you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Fatima. You're also doing a very noble thing. Keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And on that note, we are done with today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it and I hope you guys learned a lot from it. Like I said at the beginning, it was going to be a very enlightening episode. Anyway, you guys, find us on social media. We are the Never Fully Understood Podcast _ on Instagram, but the link will also be placed on the description of this episode. And also, follow us on whatever platform you're listening to this on, Spotify, Apple Podcast and Google Podcast and the rest. Make sure you follow the show, give us, you know, very good rating. And yeah, thank you so much for watching this episode. I hope you guys enjoy it.